दर्शितं रूपं एतत् खामायते नघा मत्खामा शनखाय साधु सर्वान् मुंशति हृच्छयान्। O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. These words are spoken by Bhagavan Sri Narayan to a young boy who, with fixed purpose and determination, aspired to know Krishna, to love Krishna. This narration is being spoken by Sri Narada Muni to his great disciple Vyasadeva. He's explaining how he came to the exalted position of having no other motivation or responsibility but being the compassionate servant to all living beings by enlightening the whole world by spreading the holy name of Krishna. He's explaining how he was born in a family of Sudras. His mother was a widow. She was very poor. She was a maid servant. The glory of human life is when we have the greatest fortune of associating with saintly persons. Even a moment's association with a pure-hearted sadhu can open the doors to the perfection of life. To be in the satsang of the Lord's devotees is not only the greatest fortune, but it is the most important responsibility for every human being. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to think that you can become Krishna conscious or God conscious, sitting in a secluded place chanting the holy names, is an illusion. Without the association, regular, of sincere-hearted devotees of the Lord, it is not possible. So such an association of great saints, they came to the forest where the child and his mother were living. And the mother became maidservant for them. And the child would assist her. And in the course of the activities, by serving them with great humility and care, they pleased these great saints and received their blessings. When we please great personalities, then the blessings of God comes upon us. Because according to our eagerness to hear from them and our desire to serve them, our heart is open to receive their compassion. Actually, great sadhus, they are compassionate to everyone without discrimination. But when we aspire to hear from them and to please them, then Krishna opens our hearts to receive their mercy and their blessings. And naturally, when they see that we are sincere, they pray for us. They pray, "My dear Lord, please be kind upon this sincere soul." And Krishna cannot help from fulfilling the prayers of his devotees. So the child would hear from them, and because he was in such a humble service mood, whatever he heard, although he was not very learned, he could understand by the grace of God from the core of his heart. And one time, with the permission of these great devotees, he took their Maha Prasad. And taking the prasad of great devotee Vaishnavas has a very powerful effect. Why? Because to take the remnants of someone is taking a very humble position. And it is actually Krishna within your heart, when he sees you're taking such a humble position to honor the remnants, what is left behind by a great soul, he becomes so pleased. He bestows his great mercy upon us. Plus, we become what we associate with. If you take the food of a diseased man, you may catch that contagious disease. Krishna consciousness is a disease. In fact, it is a fatal disease. Once you contract it, it's there. And slowly but surely, whether you know it or not, it's going to kill all your material conceptions. Just like today, there is a disease called HIV virus. And when it becomes advanced to the state of AIDS, it's very dangerous. When you contract it, sometimes you don't even know you have it for 5, 10, up to 15 years. You just go on with your business, like everything is normal. But little you know that inside something's happening. The virus is there, and you can never get it out. And slowly but surely, without your any understanding, it's killing your particular type of immune system, and it's killing your life. So similarly, when we come in contact with saintly people, when we hear from them, when we take their Maha Prasad, then the contagious disease of bhakti enters into our heart, and whether we know it or not, it begins to slowly but surely vanquish all of our illusions, all of our ignorance, all of our worldly attachments. And when the symptoms begin to come manifest, at that time, the desire to surrender to God awakens in our heart. So when these great personalities, the Bhaktivedantas, they left after the 4 months of Chaturmasya, the child was thinking, with one pointed fixed attention, "I want to pursue the path of truth in this life. But I have a mother, and she's a widow, and she's old, and she requires my attention." One day, by the inconceivable will of destiny, while his mother was going out to milk a cow, she was struck by a serpent and she died. The child, although naturally feeling the sadness of losing the company of such an affectionate and loving mother, he simultaneously felt great hope and joy, because now there was no impediment to his following the path which was laid out by the great souls of the past. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. And he began to travel through the cities, the towns, the villages, the countryside, into the forest. Deep, deep into the forest, he was simply longing for Krishna. After drinking some water, he sat to meditate. And in his meditation, the beautiful form of Lord Narayan appeared to him. When he saw this majestic and wonderful darshan, he became divinely ecstatic. All of his desires were fulfilled. But then the Supreme Lord disappeared from his vision, casting him into an ocean of separation. And he began to pray, "Where have you gone, my Lord?" He began to again practice his various meditational techniques. But the Lord only appears according to his sweet will. He spoke to Sri Narada. He said to the child, "O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. By service of the absolute truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds." For the rest of his life, this child, with one pointed fixed attention, was simply longing for the service of the Lord. He would not allow his mind to deviate from a second from chanting the Lord's name, remembering him, and serving him with his body, mind, and soul. Because of this fixed determination, in his next birth, the child became Sri Narada Muni, the illustrious spiritual master of Vedavyas, Dhruva, Prahlad, Prachini Barhishat, Valmiki Muni, and so many others. Through this story, we can understand how important it is to fix our mind in one pointed devotion on the Lord. There is no other priority in this human form of life. Everything else is an illusion if it is in any way separated from our devotion to God. And a devotee who really wants to attain the perfection of liberation can be satisfied with nothing else outside of devotional service to Lord Hari. The example is given of the Chataka bird. The Chataka bird always keeps her eyes fixed on the cloud, because she will not accept water from anywhere except that cloud. Although there may be so many fresh, clear rivers, lakes, and ponds with unlimited water for her to drink, she will never even look at them. She will never consider them. She will keep her eyes and her attention fixed on the cloud, just waiting for one drop to fall, and praying, when will that drop come? I will not accept water from anywhere else. Sometimes, from that cloud, there is thunder, and sometimes there is lightning, which causes great pain and suffering to the Chataka bird. But the Chataka bird will tolerate, will endure the pain and the suffering inflicted by the lightning and thunder of the cloud, and with rapt attention, wait for that drop of water to fall, without consideration of taking that drop from anywhere else. The great rishis have told us, this is the price of real enlightenment. Dritta Vrata. To have that firm conviction and faith. To always be longing and hankering for the mercy of the Lord. And not to look anywhere else for our fulfillment of desires. And even if the Lord puts us in the most difficult and painful conditions, we will never give up. With faith and one-pointed determination, we will just wait and wait with our eyes fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord for that drop of mercy. He may give us disease. He may give us poverty. He may give us so many heartbreaks. But we'll never look anywhere else for the fulfillment of our desires. He has any right to deal with us any way we please. This is the only consciousness that makes us worthy to truly receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord Bhagwan. Under any circumstance, to never give up his loving service. In the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know how he was living with the most beautiful, most chaste, and most faithful wife. Her name was Vishnupriya. She was the daughter of Sanatan Mishra. She was actually the goddess of fortune. But in this incarnation, her beauty and her divine qualities excelled by far that of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And she served her lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in such a way. She never expected a servant to assist her. She would work with her own hands in any menial way to assist him in his mission. at any given time, at the least expected moment, even if a group of 20 or 30 sadhus came to their house, she would immediately begin to cook so wonderfully. And then he would serve the prasad, and she would clean. She was a great devotee of Tulsi Devi. She was always praying to Tulsi Maharani, worshipping her, offering her water. She would never complain. She would be busy practically day and night, serving her husbands and serving his guests. And of course, Lord Gauranga was also living with his widowed mother, Sachi Devi. Anyways, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to this material world, he doesn't come for the same reason we come. Due to our previous karma, we come to try to enjoy the resources of material nature. But the Lord only comes out of his supreme compassion and love for us. He comes to give us the chance to perfect our life, to remove us from the repetition of birth and death, and to bestow upon us the supreme treasure of his love. But Lord Gauranga could see that although his eternal consort, Lakshmi Devi, in the form of Vishnupriya, was the most perfect and pleasing companion, his relationship with her was an impediment to distributing love of God, prema bhakti, to the fallen souls of this age of Kali Yuga. He came to the realization that people will not truly respect my message unless I accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. We know how the Lord loves his devotees. But he's willing to sometimes even cause pain to his most loving devotees to show compassion to the fallen souls. So he resolved in his mind that I will leave this place and I will become a sannyasi, and I will travel here and spread the glories of the holy name. This is what I have come to this world for. He very confidentially revealed his mind to Gadadhar Pandit, to Nityananda Prabhu, to Chandra Shekhar Acharya, to just a few other devotees. Please listen very carefully. The night before Lord Gauranga took sannyas, he was alone with his beloved consort, Vishnupriya, who at the time was only a girl of 14 years old. And she approached her beloved Gaurasundar with a very heavy and fearful heart. She said, "My beloved Lord, O Prananath, you are my very life and soul. I have heard rumors that you are going to soon take sannyas and leave me forever. Is this true? if it is true, without you, my lord, I cannot maintain my life. It will be better for me to drink poison and die. Upon hearing the most sweet and affectionate words of Sri Vishnupriya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "My dear Vishnupriya, you are as dear to me as life itself. But please try to understand that there is only one truth in this world, and that is Bhagwan and the Vaishnavas. Everything else is an illusion. Mother, father, husband, wife, children, relatives, friends, relationships, they are all temporary. They are all coming through the illusory energy of Maya. Krishna is the only master. Krishna is our only real husband and protector. Your name is Vishnupriya. Please try to understand. You are so dear to Lord Vishnu. Have faith. He will protect you." At that time, in order to give relief to the paining heart of his beloved, he revealed his divine form of Narayan with four arms. And when she saw this, she was very blissful. But at the same time, nothing could change her love for him. She loved him as the most perfect wife for the most perfect husband. And she couldn't bear the thought of his separation. She began to weep, and sobbing tears, she fell at the lotus feet of her beloved Lord Gaurasundar. "My dear Lord," she said, "you are my life and soul. You are my only wealth. You are only my only reason to live. You are the only purpose of my life. To not be in your presence, to not have the chance to serve you and to please you personally, this thought is more painful than death. Will you leave me?" Lord Gaurasundar replied, "I will travel here and there and everywhere, but you should know that I will always be in your presence." And then Vishnupriya spoke perhaps the most blessed words we'll ever hear in our whole life. She said, "My dear beloved Lord, you must do whatever makes you happy. There should be no obstacle in your mission in life. After speaking those words, she massaged the lotus feet of the Lord And by the Lord's mystic potency, she fell asleep. And he left. And she never saw him again in his personal form. In fact, after the Lord left, she worshipped a deity form of Lord Gauranga. And she would worship that beautiful Murti with her life and soul as her only object and purpose. Her sadhana was that she would chant one full round of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And after each round, she would collect one grain of rice. And then she would chant another round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The full Maha Mantra, 108 times equals one mala. And then she would take another grain of rice. Our initiated devotees chant 16 rounds every day. That means you would get 16 grains of rice a day. Anyways, by the end of the day, however few grains of rice were there, she would cook those grains, she would offer them to her murti of Lord Gaurasundar, and then she would partake of his prasad. Due to the pain of separation, she became so emaciated, so lean and thin, that her form was compared to the crescent moon just at the time of Amavasya. Her eyes were always filled with tears of separation. But Vishnupriya would never turn to anyone else or anywhere else for the fulfillment of any of her desires. Her exclusive rapt attention was in remembrance of her beloved Lord. Whatever you must do to be happy, my Lord, you please do it. Whatever comes upon me, let it be. My life is sold only for your satisfaction. Let me in no way be an obstacle to your divine mission, my Lord. I am your servant, unconditionally, in any way you deal with me. Vyavasayatma kabudhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hirantascha budhaya vyavasayanam. Krishna says in Gita that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute is many branched. Yes, like that Chataka bird. Let whatever Krishna wants to do to us be grateful. But never look anywhere else or to anyone else for the fulfillment of our soul's desires. What we are talking about tonight is real religion. This is the Bhagavat philosophy. Dharma projita kaita patra parama niramatsaranam satam. Kicking out all Kaitava Dharma, all false religions, all pseudo-religions, or all cheating religions, which compromise and adulterate the truth with all sorts of other material contaminations. Some of us here today are brahmacharis, some are grihastas. But the purpose of life, we must know. And we should not let anyone tell us anything different. We should not let anyone cheat us to think that we're in this world to make money, to think that we're in this world to grow a nice family, to think that we're in this world to have a prestigious position in society. This is all Maya. It is all an illusion. It will all be stripped away from us at death. We are not this body. We are the eternal soul. Real dharma, Sanatan dharma, is to have fixed attention on the truth and to pursue the truth in every aspect of our life and not look anywhere else or to anyone else but Krishna. How to live like this in Grihastha Ashram? We must associate with those special personalities who keep this always alive as the goal of our life. Otherwise, we are certain to be diverted by all of the social customs, rituals, and materialistic propaganda of this world. And if you are a parent that actually has a real sense of love for your child, you will make sure that your child gets this education and this association. And if you're selfish and greedy for your own purposes, then you will simply exploit your own child to be your servant. Everyone is eternally the servant of Krishna. A loving parent will train their child to achieve the perfection of liberation through serving Krishna, not through serving me or our traditions. Because the whole purpose of family life and all Vedic traditions is to love Krishna, to never take birth again in this world, to never suffer again. And a child that actually loves his parents or her parents must know that unless I become a pure devotee of Krishna, I can do nothing tangible for my parents. Whatever I do is in the world of illusion. And this type of family life is what is recommended by the saints, by the scriptures, and by God. It is a life of real love, of selflessness, of service. One time, a devotee approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who was a great renunciate living in Navadweep Dham. At that time, he was living in the Kuliya Dharmashala. He used to chant Harinam in the public latrines where people would pass stool and urine, and he would lock the door all day long. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because he knew only very, very serious people would approach him there. Materialistic people would not want to go through such inconvenience to receive material blessings from him. You don't need to approach saintly people for material blessings. By your hard work, you can achieve your material desires. We should approach saintly persons for the blessing that we can fix our consciousness on Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would give everyone one blessing. Krishne Matirastu. May you always remember Krishna. How to always remember Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. By chanting his name, it becomes so simple. Anyways, one disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a young man, he approached Gaurkishore Das Babaji, and he said, I have recently got married to a very nice devotee of Krishna. She has become my wife. And Gaurkishore Das Babaji said, oh, you are very fortunate. He said, it is a very, very rare, special, fortunate gift of God to receive a devotee of Krishna as a wife. You should be grateful and consider it a true blessing. But hear what I have to say. That she's Krishna's servant. She's Krishna Dasi. She's not you Dasi. You should never think that she is your servant. If you do, you are committing an offense at her lotus feet. She is Krishna's servant. And you assist her in her service to Krishna, and you protect her so that she could perfect her life in the service of Krishna. And you never think that she is there for your enjoyment. She is existing for Krishna's enjoyment. And that is the same way a wife should think in terms of a Krishna conscious husband. He's not my servant. This relationship is not that he just provides for me. His life is meant as Krishna Das, to serve Krishna, and I will assist him. Through thick or thin, hell or high water, I will assist him. This was Vishnupriya's devotion to Lord Gauranga. This was Sita's devotion to Ram. And of course, if the husband and wife have this relationship, then factually, the household becomes Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, where there's perfect peace and enlightenment. And the children that are born, we may raise them and educate them in so many technical skills, but we always keep first and foremost that you are a servant of Krishna. We should always keep our children's sight on that beautiful blackish cloud of Shamsundar. We should make sure that none of us or those who we love, that we ever turn our eyes or our attention away from the beautiful rain cloud of Shamsundar and not be satisfied or content with anything else but receiving that drop, that single raindrop of his mercy. And if we have to wait our whole life, year after year after year, for that drop to come, we will never turn our attention away for our whole life. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskaru mame vaishashi satyam te pratijani priyoshime. Because we have faith in Shamsundar's promise that you always think of me, you worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way, you will come to me. You will receive my mercy without fail. And we will not listen to any other alternative in this life.
but awaiting for that drop of Krishna's mercy. And we will hanker for that drop, and we will long for that drop, and we will be so faithful and chaste. That I am only for Krishna, and only Krishna's for me. Hare.
You said that the husband should consider wife as servant of Krishna, and the wife should consider husband as servant of Krishna. But the still the attitude.
Not only servant of Krishna.
And also assist his.
You should consider your wife the servant of Krishna. But you should consider yourself Das Das Anudas.
Yes.
To be her servant. Because she's a servant of Krishna. You must be the servant of the servant. And your wife should think you are the servant of Krishna, and she is Das Das Anudasi. She's your servant. Spiritual life is a life of service. Spiritual life, no one is everyone is master except me. That is bhakti. Everyone is Prabhu, but I am Das. I am not here to exploit or be master over anyone. I am servant. Huh? This doesn't mean you become henpecked. Henpecked means if your wife tries to make you the servant of her material desires, that's another thing. But to assist her and to care for her and to protect her so that she could have a full life of loving service to Krishna, that is what it means to be the servant of the servant of the servant.
So the concept of she being the source of my enjoyment doesn't go over the years.
This
conception which you told.
You don't have enjoyment during kirtan?
Yes, true.
You do. You don't have enjoyment seeing the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath. You don't have enjoyment sitting with Devamrit and Tattva and Nimai Pandit. You don't have enjoyment being with the medicos during Mangal Arati, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh? You don't have enjoyment cooking bhoga with your wife for the deities, or going to the temple with your wife. Huh? You don't have enjoyment doing these things? So, yes. Just, if you're always engaged with her or with other devotees in devotional service, then you will experience the higher taste of the real enjoyment of the soul, which is through service in Krishna consciousness. And if we keep our life filled with spiritual activities, then our selfish, exploitative tendencies are curbed, and gradually they are purified. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. It should not be idle. The idle mind will be looking for sense gratification. But if the mind, Saravapadiva Niramuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktaruchyate. But if we keep our mind and senses busy for Krishna, then our senses become like a serpent with broken fangs. Mm-hmm. A cobra can raise his hoods and appear very fearful. But if the fangs are not there, can do no harm. So even though Maya may present so many temptations to us, if we are engaging our mind and senses in spiritual activities, acts of bhakti, then she cannot hurt us. She cannot harm us at all. He is very honest. That is a very special virtue. Most people would not ask such a question. But honesty is one of the preliminary qualifications of humility. And it is that honesty and humility that makes us receptive to Krishna's mercy. Actually, he is saying these things for our benefit. He's so merciful. Yes?
Swamiji, this 12th chapter of the Gita, 5th verse says, Klesho digadarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gadir dukkam dehavad biravarpyate. Those who have the body attachment, for them, this avyakta, the impersonal worship, is very difficult. So, therefore, Arjuna, you take personal worship. Can we take it that interpretation, or can you just clarify that verse meaning?
The verse speaks for itself. He says that either way, you're going to attain the same destination ultimately, right? But for the embodied soul to fix the consciousness on that which is formless and without any qualities is practically impossible. So therefore, it is easier and more efficient to meditate upon and worship the personal form of the Lord. But we must know that Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dira Govinda Saravakarana Karanam, that the personal form of the Lord is not just an imagination. It is not just a temporary manifestation. The Lord is simultaneously personal and impersonal eternally. As the sun has a form and also has a formless effulgence, simultaneously at all times. To fix our mind in the beautiful form of the deity, to hear the beautiful pastimes of the beloved form of Sri Krishna, or Ram, Narayan, Vamanadev, Narasingha Avatar, it is so easy and so pleasing that even a child can always think of Krishna by thinking of his beautiful form and worshiping his form. And that form is eternal. And by worshiping that form, we develop unmotivated, uninterrupted love in due course of time. And that is the perfection of life. The Bhagavad Gita very much discourages the path of impersonalism. It is not that it is not an authorized path. It is authorized, but it is very difficult. And it's not that you get something more from it. So why not take the easy, recommended path of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna told Arjuna that it is very difficult for the embodied soul to meditate on the impersonal. So meditate on my eternal personal form. And what is our qualification compared to Arjuna? He was Krishna's dear friend. He was a very highly liberated soul. Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti sorajunaha. That one who understands the divyam, the transcendental nature, the pure, eternal, spiritual nature of my appearance and activities will never take birth in this material world again. By understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, of his words, of his name, of his form. We never take birth in this material world again. But Krishna says, he attains my abode.
I would submit it like this, that in your course of discussions, you did mention the philosophy of illusions. Yes. All the materialist things which are around us, everybody knows that they are illusions. They vanish. Nothing is permanent. But would you agree that even to attain the process which Narada, even Chaitanya, of course our status is much below, but how to attain it and how to disassociate with this materialistic life in terms of the necessities that we have to face every day. Even to have the Naam Sankirtan, to associate with people, you need something to do. Even I would say the relations of a husband and wife, if was not necessary, why the tradition is going on? They could be dasis otherwise also, then being husband and wife together. So how we coordinate these illusious materialistic things vis-a-vis the spiritual life? And what could be the balancing? Because the priorities get changed. We might sit here for about a couple of hours, but as soon as we are out, the priorities get changed and we give more preference to something else than this thing, which becomes a necessity, part of life. How best to coordinate these two things? Sing.
Thank you very much for your sincere question. I will try to answer as I have heard from my Guru Maharaj, Om Vishnupad Paramhams, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What is the difference between truth and illusion? Illusion is to see anything's existence separate from its source. The source of everything is Krishna. Janamadyasha yataha. The absolute truth is from whom everything emanates. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samangata. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. And Krishna says, one who knows the truth sees that all living beings are part of me and that they are in me and that they are mine. So, our mother, our father, our sisters and brothers, our wife, our husband, our children, our friends, our relatives, our countrymen, are they all an illusion? It depends on our vision. The manifestation is temporary. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva explains, he's actually preaching to Kamsa. Kamsa, you want to kill your sister, and you're going to incur terrible, terrible karma where you're going to have to suffer hellish consequences for births and births and births if you kill her. Why do you want to subject yourself to such long-term pain and suffering just to maintain this body of yours, which is going to die today or tomorrow? He explains that just like pieces of straw in the river are brought together by a wave, and then another wave comes and separates them, we are all in the river of material existence, and the waves are the waves of time.
And sometimes that wave of time brings two people together, and sometimes it separates them. What is the significance of those relationships? From a physical point of view, there's really no significance at all. Today, it is here. Tomorrow, it's gone. We'll never even remember it again. Maharaj Chitraketu, he wanted so much to have a son. He was longing for a son. His mind was fixed on one goal of life, to have a son. And Angira Muni told him, you will have a son, but his name will be Harshashoka, which means he will give you pleasure and pain. Chitraketu thought, I don't mind the pain as long as I have a son. So he had a son. And he was so attached to this beautiful young child. But his co-wives, envious of the wife that gave him the son, gave him poison and killed him. And to the degree Chitraketu was ecstatic about having the son, he was miserable when it died. So Narada Muni and Angira Muni came to his palace and said, what is the problem? And he was weeping. He was laying on the floor, helpless. He said, my son is dead. So they brought his son back to life. And Narada said, Harshashoka, why did you leave your father like this? And you know what the son said? He said, where's my father? This man? Which father? I've gone through so many millions of births, through all the different species of life that my soul has evolved through. I've had mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and companions, and mates, and everything else. Which one is he? We are brought together by destiny, and we're taken apart by destiny. And when we're taken apart, we're practically forever forgotten. And what is this 60, 70, 80, 90, or at the most 100 years of relationships we have together? Eternity is reality. In the face of eternity, these relationships we have for these few years is like a second. Not even a second. And we put so much emphasis on dedicating our life just to making some fulfillment out of this temporary physical relationship. That is illusion. But the soul is eternal. And we are all eternally related in connection to Krishna. The relationship between a husband and wife in Krishna consciousness is an eternal relationship. We may not be husband and wife forever, but our souls will always be together in the service of the Lord. Huh? The relationship between a father and mother of a child, if it is based on service to Krishna, that relationship is eternal. It is true. It is not an illusion. The temporary designations that we identify each other as is illusory. But the truth underlying Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, that we are all the servants of Krishna, that is eternal. And if we base our relationships on that, then our relationships are eternal. And how to not forget this message when we leave this auspicious house tonight? By regular sadhana. Every day, as the first and most important priority of life, we should chant the holy names. We should take a japa mala and we should chant every day the name of God. And we should read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita every day. We read the newspapers, we read the magazines, we hear the radios, we see the televisions. Certainly, if we are sincere, we can make time to read Srimad Bhagavat and Gita every day and chant the name of God every day. and live a pure life, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and regularly associate with sadhus, regularly come to the satsang and hear the message of Krishna. If we do these things regularly, then gradually our spiritual conviction and realization becomes stronger and stronger. And we could withstand the influences of illusion. This is very important. We must regulate our life with Krishna conscious sadhana and satsang. We have to understand that this whole world is a place that is plagued by the disease, the epidemic of ignorance. And it's a contagious epidemic. It's worse than the Black Plague. It's worse than AIDS. But if you are regularly taking immunizations by chanting God's name, by the holy satsang of sadhus, by the hearing of the word of God, Bhagavat and Gita, then even if we go out into this world of ignorance, we will be like a lotus flower. Even in the muddiest, dirtiest waters, we can remain aloof and pure and clean. It is practical. But we have to take to it. And we have to be sincere. God helps those who help themselves. Any other questions?
Maharaj, there is a small question regarding the incarnations of the Lord. Are these incarnations existing eternally in the form in which they manifested, for example, Lord Narsingdev or Lord Vaman? Do they exist in the form in which they manifested themselves eternally in the spiritual plane? Or are they mere manifestations of Lord Narayan? For example, an actor takes up a dress and then appears.
So and you want to know if you can live with a tortoise that's millions of miles wide forever in the form of Kurmavatar. Or Matsyavatar, who's how big? 100,000 miles, huh? I think 1 million miles. 8 million. 8 million miles. Matsyavatar was 8 million mile fish. Rivo. In the supreme world of Vaikuntha, all of these various avatars appear to you according to your heart's desire. It is Chintamani Dham, where all your desires will be fulfilled. Does that answer your question? And now, for the true fulfillment of our innermost desires, to know God, to love God, we have the blessed opportunity to accept the supreme benediction in this age of Kali Yuga, the opportunity to come together with the devotees to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.